Psalm meditation today, we'll be looking at Psalm 11. Psalm 11, a psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Here in Psalm 11, we're stepping outside of what I have talked about as the normal cycle just a little bit for an overview. And it's titled here in this New King James Version that I'm reading out of, Faith in the Lord's Righteousness. This is another example of the Psalms where it starts with basically a rhetorical question and identifying a need or a need in the human heart or a place in man's life where sometimes we forget about God or we don't trust him as we should. It starts with the word, in the Lord I put my trust. In Jehovah I put my trust. And the psalmist here is standing on the rock, basically, looking not primarily at what's going on around him, but looking to the Lord. He says, how can you say to my soul, speaking to the people around him, and then we have this, declaration of fear, of terror. Flee as a bird, for look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow, they will shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And ending with these last two lines here, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In times of trouble, in times where it seems as though those around us are doing their very best to destroy the bedrock that we've built our lives on, our society, even our faith, times when people are destroying what seems to be the foundations, it seems like this question, it really rang with me when I was going over this. What can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed? And we look at the things here on earth, we look at things in the church, we look at the things that we put our trust in or we depend on, and we see them being taken away, fought against, broken. And it's easy for us to fall into this fear, this question, what can we do? Well, the next few verses tell us that. Again, we have the question in our heart, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah's throne is in heaven. We have here a declaration that God is with his people. In the Old Testament days, remember, the temple was the palace of God there in Jerusalem. And there in the Holy of Holies on the Ark of the Covenant, we had the mercy seat, which was seen as the throne of God living amongst his people. Here in the New Testament days, we live by faith and not by sight. We don't have that item any longer. So contrary to whatever old movies you may like, finding it would not be any particular power to the church. God lives among us. But the second line there, the Lord's throne is in heaven. And when we look at the foundations of earthly things being destroyed, we have to remember that the chief foundation is Jehovah God and his covenant of grace. And that's administered from heaven, not here on this earth. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. He tests the righteous. And the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. And we see in verse 6 there, his vengeance and his destruction foretold for them. In the last verse here, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Now this isn't just a statement of works righteousness, that if you're holy enough, God will uphold you. Remember, this is the covenant name of God that's used through here. And this promise, or these two promises, are in the covenant of grace, not the covenant of works. When he tests the righteous, when the Lord checks out his people, he's looking for the righteousness of Christ, not our own inherent righteousness, but the imputed righteousness that saves. When he looks at the wicked, he sees their inherent, their true righteousness, which is none. And that's the choice that's put before us in the covenant of grace. Do we stand before this judgmental or this judging God? Do we stand before his throne in ourselves? Or do we stand on Jesus, on the rock, when we face God? The Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. Now, this statement here, again, isn't just a statement of God's character. It sets the stage for as we go through the rest of this next cycle of Psalms. The Lord does love righteousness, but righteousness comes on this earth through the sacrifice of Christ and his taking our sins upon himself. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, they can stand on the Father. They can stand in the covenant of grace and rest upon the work of Christ. And they can rest in his promises that the church will succeed, that the gospel will spread across the earth, and that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is a psalm of faith in the Lord's righteousness, yes, but more to the point, it's a psalm about confidence in the covenant, confidence in the Lord who does not rest on anything, who doesn't need things in this earth to get his work done. Foundations are important. I'm not saying that we can get away from all that. Family's important. Understanding that Scripture is God's Word is important. I hear people all the time ask why the stories in Genesis are important. That's old stuff. Well, that's the foundation, isn't it, that the rest of the Bible rests upon. Foundations are important, so let's stand for them when we can. But let's remember that Jehovah is working, and we work in him, and we rest on Jesus. So now we'll sing Psalm 11. There is no 11b. It's just Psalm 11. We'll sing that at this time.